الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. In our last lesson we talked about the story of the two men. One man was a believer and the other one was a disbeliever. And the man who was a believer, he was not very wealthy in terms of the materialistic wealth of this world. But he had the wealth of iman and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is more valuable than any type of materialistic wealth that you can accumulate in this dunya. As for the second man, he was a disbeliever in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he didn't have iman. But he had all forms of materialistic wealth of this world. He had two beautiful gardens that had fruits and vegetation and rivers. He had gold, he had silver, he had property. He had all sorts of wealth that you could imagine. Also, he had many children. And this is something that people use to show the amount of honor that they have. Some person might have a large amount of wealth and he thinks that he is more honorable than others that don't have as much wealth. Some people may have lots of children, a big family, and in their culture they consider themselves more honorable than a person who has a smaller family, or maybe a person who doesn't have any children at all. So they used to use these factors, having wealth and having children, as a yardstick for honor and respect. But having wealth and having children is not necessarily a sign that a person is more honorable than another person. And we'll get to the reasoning for that in a minute, inshallah. So what happened to this man who had so much wealth and so much property and he had so many children, but because he disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eventually everything came to an end. He lost all of his property. Eventually he passed away, he died. And of course, his children would be of no benefit to him after that as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Yawm al-Qiyamah in Surah Ash-Shu'ara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. That is a day that your wealth will not benefit you, nor will your children benefit you. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except a person who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a good, pure, clean heart. So after mentioning this story of these two people and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the believer tried to advise the disbeliever, yet the disbeliever would not accept that advice, and he persisted upon his disobedience and disbelief and arrogance. And eventually, he lost everything. He lost everything. After narrating this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another parable. He gives another example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنزَلْنَا كَمَاءٍ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a parable for this life, the life of this world. What is the life of this world like? What kind of an example can we use to explain the nature of the life of this world? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it by saying, وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا. And give them the example of the life of this world as water. كَمَا إِنْ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ. Water that comes from the sky, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down from the sky. And that water mixes with the plants and the vegetation of the earth. So when that water comes down and mixes with the vegetation of the earth, you see that beautiful greenery that comes up. And that lasts for some time. But what happens after time goes along to that greenery and that lush vegetation? Eventually what happens? It dries up and it loses its luster and it shrivels up and it becomes dry, and eventually the wind just blows it away. Imagine having like a beautiful flower that you plant outside. So the flower, with the water that comes down to it, it's going to grow. It's going to be beautiful for some time, but it's not going to last like that forever. Eventually, it will start changing color. It will become dry. It will shrivel up. The leaves will fall down. The petals will come down onto the ground. And when the wind comes, it will just blow it away as if it never existed. So this is the parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes to explain the nature of the life of this world. And there are many benefits that we can get from this parable. One of the benefits we get is that the life of this world is temporary. Just like that vegetation and those flowers and that plant that grows, it stays with you for some time, for a while, but eventually it goes away. And that is what this dunya is like as well. Your life in this dunya is here right now, but it's not going to last forever. Eventually, it will end. Your life will end and your time on this earth will be finished, just like the flower's life in the land is finished. Another example that we can get from this parable is that at the time that the vegetation and the flowers, when they are at their peak, when they are green and luscious, that is a time of enjoyment. That is their best time, and that's like our example in this world as well. We will have a time in this world where we feel very strong and we feel very powerful, but eventually that time will go away as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah الذي خلقكم من ضعف ثم جعل من بعد ضعف قوة ثم جعل من بعد قوة ضعفا وشيبة. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our life in cycles, right? So He created us in a state of weakness. And then when we grow up and we reach an age of strength, we become strong. And that's the time where we can enjoy this dunya the most. When you're not too young and when you're not too old. So there is a time that comes between youth and between old age that you are at your peak in this life. And that is an opportunity that people have to enjoy their life. And if a person enjoys their life in a halal way, that's fine. But if they use that strength to enjoy their life in a way that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the worst mistake that they can make. Because eventually that stage comes to an end and you go back to weakness again. So the same thing with the vegetation and the plant life of earth. So the plant grows and it reaches a stage where it is beautiful and where it is admired. But then after that stage, it reverts back to a stage where it dissolves and becomes like nothing. So this is a similarity to our life as well. So these are some of the benefits that we can get from this parable of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comparing the life of this world to the life of the vegetation and the plants on this earth that are watered by the water that comes from the sky. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of doing all things. There is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot do. He is able to do all things. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الْمَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Wealth and children are the adornments of this world. Wealth and children are the adornments of this world. So when you live a life and you don't have wealth and you don't have children, it's like you're missing out on something of this world. This is something that everybody wants in this dunya. Everybody wants to have a comfortable life in terms of materialistic wealth. And everybody wants to have a family. Nobody likes to live in isolation. No one who is sane in his mind likes to live alone all the time. Yes, there may be periods where you want to be alone, that's fine. But as a whole, everybody wants companionship. And this is the natural way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. So these are some of the adornments of this world. To have wealth and to have children. Now, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayatid dunya? Why did He say wealth first and then children? Why did He mention wealth first before He mentioned children? And the Mufassireen have said the reasoning behind this is because wealth is something that is desired by human beings at all stages in their life. Even young children, they always want money. Right? The young children, they will go to their parents and ask them for money. So it starts from a young age. And it lasts throughout life. The desire for wealth lasts throughout life. From the young age, through the middle age, even through the old age. People are always wanting to accumulate wealth. So it's something that lasts with you for your whole life. As for the desire for children, it does not last for your whole life. Of course, when someone is a child himself, he's not thinking, oh, I want to have children. No, only when he reaches an age where he gets married, then he thinks that he wants to have children and he wants to have a complete family. So there is a stage where he wants children. Then when he becomes old, then that desire is gone. He already had his children, he's happy with that, and that's it. He doesn't have the need that he wants to have more children. So it's something that is only there with you, that desire is with you for a certain portion of your life. The desire to have children. But as for the desire to have wealth, it's there all the time. From childhood all the way to a person's death. So we have to understand that yes, wealth and children are a beautification of our life in this world. But it can also be a fitna. It's a trial and a tribulation. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Surely your wealth and your children are fitna, are a test. And if you react to that test in a wrong way, then these things that are supposed to be an adornment for your life in this dunya, they can actually destroy your akhirah. Sometimes, if a person has a lot of wealth and they allow that wealth to turn them away from the remembrance of Allah, then this person's wealth is actually a curse for him and it destroys his akhirah. Also, sometimes a person has children and they don't guide those children in the right way. They don't keep those children on the straight path. They let them do whatever they want to do. And this can be a means for them to be destroyed as well. The children as well as the parents for not guiding them in the right way. So surely, your wealth and your children are both a test for you. And if you use this test in the right way, if you use these blessings in the right way, then it will be a source of goodness for you in this world and in the hereafter. But if you don't react to this test in the right way, then it can be a source of misery for you in this life and in the hereafter. So it's something that can be very dangerous, but it can also be very beneficial, depending on how you use it. And the story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just mentioned before these ayat, about the man who had all of this wealth and he had all of these children, this was a fitna for him, this was a test for him. Being given all of this wealth and being given these children. But he did not react to that test in the right way. Rather, he became arrogant in his disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was destroyed because of that. On the other hand, if somebody has wealth and they spend that wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they use it for themselves as well. No problem with enjoying your wealth in a halal way. You use it for yourself and your family, no problem. But also make sure that you spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, especially the obligation of spending zakat. And if you can do more than that, then the more reward you will get. So that is reacting to the test in the right way. Also children, if you have children and you raise those children to be good servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that will be a source of blessing for you as well in this world and in the hereafter. So yes, children and wealth are a beautification of life. And children and wealth are also a test and a trial and a tribulation. So once we understand that, we know that we have to make sure that we react to these tests in the right way. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُلْهِكُمْ أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ O you who believe, do not let your wealth and your children distract you from the remembrance of Allah. Don't let your wealth and your children distract you from the remembrance of Allah. And if you do this, if you let your wealth and you let your children distract you from the remembrance of Allah, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ And whoever does this, these are the losers. So we have to understand this and we have to make sure that we don't allow these tests to get in the way of our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that wealth and children are an adornment or a decoration or a beautification of this world. But wealth and children do not go with you to the grave. When you go in your grave, your wealth is not going to go with you and your children are not going to go with you. And that is the nature of this dunya, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in the previous ayah, when he compared the life of this world to the vegetation, right? The vegetation is something that is beautiful for a while, but then it disappears. So the same thing happens to your wealth and your children. When you go in the grave, they are not going to be with you. They're not going to be part of your experience in the grave. So you have to understand that. But there is something that you can take with you to the grave. Something else that you can take with you to the grave. Not your wealth and not your children. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it in the next part of the same ayah. Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayatid dunya. Wealth and children are from the beautifications of this world. Wal-baqiyatu salihatu khayrun inda rabbika thawaban wa khayrun amala. But the good deeds that remain, meaning they don't leave you when you die, they will remain with you even after you die, your good deeds. Al-baqiyatu salihat khayrun inda rabbika thawaban. This is better for you in terms of getting a reward from your Lord. Wa khayrun amala. And this is better for you in terms of hope. This is something that can give you hope. If you do good deeds, you can have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for those good deeds. And those good deeds will benefit you in your grave and on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Wal-baqiyatu salihat. The good actions that remain. And some of the ulama have said that al-baqiyatu salihat, the good deeds that remain, they are subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ And some of the ulama have said that it is any type of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the ulama said that it is the salah. But the correct opinion, inshallah, is that it includes all good deeds. It includes all good deeds. Any good deed that you do, it will remain with you, even after you die. It will remain with you until يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ And you will be rewarded on that day for your good deeds. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ Whatever is with you, it will finish. But whatever is with Allah, it remains forever. So the good deeds that a person does, it will last with him in his grave and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him for those good deeds. So this is something that you have to make sure that you accumulate in this world. Rather than trying to accumulate wealth and trying to have more, having children is good, definitely. And the Prophet ﷺ actually recommended people to have lots of children. But as long as you keep your children on a path of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the amount of children you have and the amount of wealth you have, that is not necessarily something that is going to raise your rank. Rather, what is going to raise your rank is accumulation of good deeds. It is accumulation of good deeds. The more good deeds you accumulate, the higher your rank and your status will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that we have to understand from this ayah. Wealth and children are from the beautifications of this world, but good deeds are something that will last even after you leave this world. And you have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you reward for those good deeds, and that reward will be an everlasting reward that will never end. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some description of Yawm al-Qiyamah. He gives some description of the situation on Yawm al-Qiyamah. وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالِ وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالِ On this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the mountains to move. And what kind of movement will the mountains have? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah, وَتَرَى الْجِبَالَ تَحْسَبُهَا جَامِدَةً وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابُ You see the mountains, and you think that these mountains are firm and unmovable, right? The mountains are so big and strong and so firm into the ground that you think they are not movable. But on that day, how are you going to see the mountains? وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابُ They will be moving, not just any regular type of movement, they will be moving like the clouds move. When you look in the sky and you see the clouds moving, that is how the mountains are going to be moving on Yawm al-Qiyamah. A whole change of the way that the earth looks on that day. The sky will be something different. The earth will be something different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ On that day, the earth will become a different earth. And the skies, it will become a different sky. It's not going to be the same. So many changes are going to take place that it's going to be a completely different situation. So on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the mountains to move like clouds. وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالِ وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةً And you will see the earth clear. Now, if you look at the earth has a lot of things on it, right? You see trees, you see plants, you see mountains, you see rocks, you see rivers, you see all sorts of things on the earth. But on that day, it will all be cleared. And the earth will be flattened out with nothing on it. Just land. Just land. So that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to change the earth. He's just going to make it a big piece of land with nothing on it. So this is some of the things that will happen on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the mountains are going to move, the earth is going to be removed of all of the things that are on it. وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather the people. He will gather the people, all of the people. وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا And He will not leave out even one person. He will gather all of the people and He will not leave out even one person. And that is all of the people from Adam alayhi salam up to the last person who will ever live on earth. Everyone who has ever lived. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather them all. فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا And He will not leave out anyone. Imagine that, billions and billions of people. And Allah knows what the number is. وَعُرِضُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ صَفَّا And they will be set forth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in lines. All of the people in lines in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ You have come back to us as we created you the first time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of us and then he will cause all of us to die, and then he will bring us all back to life again. So this is like a new creation. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life and then causes us to die, and then he brings us back to life again. This is like a new creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this as a new creation. بَلْهُمْ فِي لَبْسٍ مِّنْ خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. The kuffar, they are in confusion, or they don't believe in the new creation. The fact that after you die, you will be recreated again. You will be brought back to life again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا. You have come back to us. كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. As we created you the first time, now we created you again. We brought you back to life again. And how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create us in the beginning when we all came into this world? Nobody had any clothes or anything, right? So that is going to be your situation on Yawm al-Qiyamah as well. That is going to be the situation of the people on Yawm al-Qiyamah as well. They will be unclothed. But nobody is going to be looking around at anyone else, because everyone is just going to be so scared of their own situation. Everybody will be so worried about what is going to happen to us, what is going to happen to me. You will not have any concern to look at anyone else. But the people will have no clothes on at that time. بَلْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَلَّن نَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ مَوْعِدًا. But you didn't believe, you didn't think that we had made an appointed time for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the disbelievers here, the people who don't believe in Yawm al-Qiyamah, the people who don't believe that they will be brought back to life, when in actuality they are brought back to life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them, بَلْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَلَّن نَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ مَوْعِدًا. You thought that we would not make an appointed time for you, but here it is. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ. And then the books are going to be handed out to the people. The books of deeds are going to be handed out to the people on Yawm al-Qiyamah. We have all of our deeds recorded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٍ مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Every person has an angel on his right side and on his left side writing down his deeds. The angel on your right side, he writes down your good deeds. The angel on your left side, he writes down your bad deeds. And you don't even say a word. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. There's not even a word that you utter except that an angel is ready, is watching, and he's ready to write it down. So this book has everything in it. All of your good deeds, all of your bad deeds, everything small, everything big, it is all recorded in this book. And on that on that day, the people of Jannah, they are going to be given their book in their right hand. And the people of Jahannam, they are going to be given their book in their left hand. So if you're given your book in your right hand, alhamdulillah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give all of us our books in our right hand. That is the ultimate success. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ. The books will be placed for the people. فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ. And you will see the criminals, the mujrimeen, the evildoers. They will be terrified about what they find in their books. And everyone will be able to read their books. Even a person who is not literate, a person who doesn't know how to read and write, on that day when he is given his book, he will be able to read that book. Everyone will be given the ability to read his or her book. And the mujrimeen, the criminals, the evildoers, when they read their book, they will be terrified about what they're finding in their books. All of their evil deeds, all of their sins, all in front of them. فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ. You will see the mujrimeen, the criminals, terrified of what they are finding in this book. وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا. And they will say, يَا وَيْلَتَنَا. يَا وَيْلَتَنَا is like a dua for yourself to be destroyed, like you wish you were nothing. When they're seeing this, they'll be so scared that they will wish that they didn't even exist. They will say, Ya waylatana, ma li hadha al-kitab? What is with this book? What is with this book? لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. This book has not left out anything small or anything big, except that it has recorded it in great detail. Not just written it down, not just written a summary of your deeds, but every little thing and every big thing is recorded in intricate details. Everything is described fully in detail. So they will be reading this and they will be so scared that it was all written down and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't forget anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget anything. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا. And your Lord does not forget.